Now I'm going to turn on the microphone. Revelation 6. No, I'm sorry. I said 6. 7. Revelation 7. All right. That's the last book in the Bible for Brother Bob. Revelation. Yeah, right. Revelation chapter 7. I think he knows this pretty good. What we're going to do is we're going to ask you a question and see how good you know these things about the book of Revelation. I wish I had my little picture of the seals. Does anybody have a picture of seals there with you? I don't have them with me. That's a revolting development. Marion. I should have known Marion. She is the good student here. She's a really good student. All right. This is a picture of a seal. Actually, seals. And I know you're thinking of those. That's not what this is. It's a scroll, and this is how the books were back in John's day, and it's rolled up, and it's sealed with these wax seals that keep it safe. And the seals have to be opened up before you can open up and read the scroll. You know, like an envelope, you have to have a letter opener before you can get the letter out. Well, you have to break the seals first, all right? And Revelation 6 talks about 7 of these seals, and also Revelation 8, talk 6 of them in Revelation 6, 1 in Revelation 8, talk about these seals, 7 seals, and they have to be opened up. And so we've been studying that, before I get to that, what are these seals? What is this scroll? What is this scroll? And what are these seals? Brother Bob?
The scroll contains the wrath of God poured out, and the seals represent pre-existing conditions which must be fulfilled before the wrath can be outpoured.
All right. That is great. Now, he's sticking up for the men here, giving good answers like that. Wow. That's exactly right. The seals, as Bobby just said, are pre-existing events that must occur before God's wrath is revealed. And Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ in His second coming. And He's coming not as a lamb. He's coming as an angry lamb. He's coming as a lion. And His wrath is going to be poured out on this earth. And these seals must happen before that. And Revelation 6 talks about 6 of these seals. Now, what is seal number 6? We're not going to go through all these. We've done this. But when we come to seal number 6, boop, we open it up. What is that? By the way, if you want to go and learn about all this that we've studied, go on the website and look at audio archives. And you can go back, thanks to the good work of Brother Bob Watson, you can go back and go through all these lessons and you can learn them. You can just click on and listen to them. All right? All right. Somebody have their hand up back there. Cynthia? Sixth seal. I want to know number 6.
I thought the sixth seal was the wrath. It's all the cosmic things, like the darkening of the sky.
That's right. The sixth seal is the cosmic darkening. I call it cosmic darkening. Some call it cosmic disturbance. The sun will be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. It's mentioned in Joel chapter 3. It's mentioned in many Old Testament prophecies. Where is it mentioned in the New Testament, those specific events? Bobby?
In 3 of the 4 Gospels.
Exactly. 3 of the 4 Gospels, what we call the Synoptic Gospel. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Matthew 24 is a very well-known passage that has it in. All of these come together. It's at a very specific point in time this takes place, and it's in Revelation 6. It's seal number 6. It is not the wrath of God, though. Only because the wrath of God is not poured out until all 7 seals are opened. And so, the opening of the 6th seal tells us that the wrath of God is coming next, because the 7th seal is going to be open next. So it tells us right now, and that's why people are going to run and hide that are not saved, that took the mark of the beast. They're going to run and hide, try to hide from the Lord. You can run, but you can't hide from the Lord, by the way. If you're here today, man, you normally run from God. You run from His Word, His commandments, because we're all born with sinful hearts. But the best thing you can do is run to Jesus, because He died for our sin. He was buried and rose again, and He'll save you. Right now, He offers Himself as the Savior of the world. And if you accept Him, you are saved. But if you don't accept him as your personal Savior, then you will face the wrath of God, either in this life when the Lord comes back, or when you die, hell. And so it's very important that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When should you do that? Somebody says, I'll do it today. No, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Then it goes on, it says, now. Now. Don't put it off even one part of a day. Do it right away, okay? And so, that's the sixth seal. Now, what is the first thing in chapter 7 that is after the sixth seal? This was, some of you, I asked you to do this last week. What's the first thing in chapter 7 that happens right after the sixth seal? And this is between the two seals. What is it? Cynthia again.
The rapture.
Ooh. The first thing in Revelation 7.
Oh, it's the 144,000 Jews.
Right. The sealing of the 144,000 Jews. By the way, we make a difference between Israel and the raptured church. Israel is God's earthly nation that during the millennial kingdom will be head of all the nations, and Jesus will reign over Israel and over the world, and King David will rise from the dead and be a prince as well over Israel. But Israel is going to be the head of the nation, so there will be Israelite people in earthly bodies that will have children during the millennium. Since God's going to pour out his wrath with the opening of the seventh seal, these people from Israel that will be the first to get saved will need to be protected and sealed. They will be the first ones to get saved. Now, for Israel to get saved as a nation, something has to happen as far as time. What, as far as time, has to happen, Brother Bob?
The 70 weeks of blindness, as Paul spoke in Romans 11, must be fulfilled to the day and hour.
Very good. The 70 weeks of years, if you had 70 weeks of days, that would be 70 times 7 days, or 490 days. So it wasn't days, and I'm going back to Daniel now. 70 weeks of years that Daniel said would be fulfilled from his day, or 445 B.C., after his day, up until Israel is saved as a nation. And they will not be saved. They'll be judged and chastened until that amount of time is fulfilled. And so there's a future 7-year period remaining for that to happen. So this group that is protected and sealed is 144,000 that God calls the first fruits of the nation of Israel that will be saved right after the end of the seven years. And that will be the end of the 490 years. So they'll be the first group to get saved from the nation of Israel. And they have to be protected because they're going to have to go through the wrath of God. Why do they have to go through the wrath of God? Because they have not accepted the Lord yet. But if they didn't get sealed and protected, nobody would be around to get saved. And God wants to make sure that they get saved. So they're going to be sealed and they're going to be protected. All right? Very good. Now, I ask you to notice that these 144,000, they're 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, which relate to the 12 sons of Jacob. These are not Jehovah's Witnesses, as you can notice. They're Israelite. They're Jews. They're not Jehovah's Witnesses today. Some of them think they're part of the 144,000. They're not. These are Jews that will happen during the 70th week, during the last 3.5 years of the 70th week, just before the wrath of God. Okay? Let's get that straight. That's why if you understand Revelation, it'll help you from getting involved in these cults like the Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, politely tell them, take a hike. But unless you want to talk to them, I've done that, outside your door. But anyway, all right. So looking at that, what tribe is left out in this description of the 144,000? Anybody look through that and figure it out? All right, Brother Bob knows that.
Tribe of Dan is left out, and that could possibly relate to the prophecy given in Genesis.
Wow. See, he did his homework even on his honeymoon. Isn't that great? Wow. I think he did his homework before his honeymoon. But right, it's the tribe of Dan that is left out. And in the prophecy about Dan in the book of Genesis, it talks about a serpent and a rider and all of that. Some people have concluded that quite possibly the Jewish Antichrist will come from the tribe of Dan, and that may be why it's left out. Interesting. But at any rate, well then, how do you still have 12 tribes if one tribe is left out? If you read through Revelation, how do you have 12 tribes there in the listing? Did anybody look at that? Actually, what happened there is that... You've got it, Brother Bob? What is
Joseph
it?
Joseph was split into two.
See that? He did his homework. Joseph is split into two. Remember, Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh? And so the Bible speaks about Joseph being one of the tribes, and then his son Ephraim, which was the youngest but became the largest tribe, as mentioned as another tribe there in Revelation chapter 7. All right, now, so we have the sealing of the 144,000 to protect the Jewish remnant so that Antichrist cannot kill them. And by the way, that's what Satan wants to do. I'll explain to you anti-Semitism today. Satan wants to kill every last Jew on earth. Do you know why he wants to kill every last Jew on earth? He really does. He can't do it, but he's tried before, and he wants to do it. By the way, if you doubt that he's tried, just think about the Holocaust under Adolf Hitler. That was an attempt by Satan, through Hitler, to kill off every last Jew on earth. Satan wanted Hitler to conquer the earth and then kill every last Jew. More intent was Hitler on killing the Jews than he was on defeating the Allies. He wanted to kill the Jews. He was satanically inspired. By the way, I believe Hitler's coming back. But anyway, what did I just say? I got onto that, and I'm thinking about that.
Anti-Semitism,
yeah. Why is there anti-Semitism? Obviously, Satan wants to kill Jews. Why does he want to kill every last Jew on earth? Mary?
Because they're the chosen people.
They're the chosen people. And let's take that a step further. Satan wants to run the world, doesn't he? He doesn't want God to run the world through his chosen people. God says that the kingdom of God is coming to this earth. Is the kingdom of God on earth right now? No. No. It won't come to earth until the Jewish nation gets saved. And then the kingdom of God will come to this earth. And Jewish people will be the head of all the nations. And the King of Kings, Jesus, will reign on the earth. And that's what Satan doesn't want. Now, he knows the way to stop it is kill all the Jews. If he kills every last Jew, he'll get it. Now, in the tribulation, he's going to get all the Jews and all the world marked with his mark, because he knows in the Bible that if they're marked with his mark, they can't get saved. And so even Jews aren't a problem to him if they're marked by his mark. But he'll want to kill anybody that doesn't take his mark, and certainly any Jew that doesn't take his mark. He'll want to kill them especially. Why? Because the kingdom of God. That explains why anti-Semitism keeps going on. You hear of racial prejudice, and that's just a problem with the flesh of people. People get prejudiced. And that's sin. That's wrong. But anti-Semitism is beyond just prejudice. That is satanic spiritual hatred from the devil. All right? So keep that in mind. All right. Now, let's go on from there. And the next question is, how do we still have... Well, okay. How do we still have 12... Oh, we already asked that. All right, we can go on now. All right, let's go on. 144,000, we just looked at that. Look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 13, about this 144,000. And I want to just look at that here. Revelation 12, and verse 13, it says, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire..." What am I doing here? I'm in chapter 13. Revelation 12, 13. I'm sorry. It says, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." All right? So the dragon... Who is the dragon? Marion.
Satan.
Now, how is the dragon cast to the earth? I thought that the dragon Well, where is the dragon? How does he get cast to the earth? Why does he get cast to the earth? And when, Harold?
Right now he's the prince of the power of the air.
Right now he's the prince of the power of the air. By the way, you hear about UFOs? Some of these UFOs, I believe, are demons. Some people believe that these demons will help the beast and the Antichrist during the tribulation and before the tribulation in the 70th week, and will help convince people that he's got people from outer space helping him. You know, I don't know if that'll happen or not, but it could happen. But what I'm saying is to you that Satan has power over the air, and can Satan go to heaven today? Yeah. Satan can go to heaven. Is Satan in hell? No, he's not in hell. The only demons that are in hell are demons during the days of Noah that had relationships with women on earth and brought about the flood, and they were confined to hell. And they're going to be released for a short time during the wrath of God. But Satan is not in hell. Satan is around the earth. He can go up into heaven. He's the prince of the power of the air. Now, why does it say here that the dragon is cast down to the earth? What is that talking about? When the dragon is cast down, when is that going to happen, and what's that about? Give me a little background, Bobby.
It'll happen exactly at the midway point of the 70th week of Daniel, and we learn about a great war in Revelation chapter 12, in which Michael will kick Satan out with his angels. And that's also prophesied in Daniel chapter 12 when Michael takes his stand.
Exactly right. Very good. And so that's a war in heaven. It's a cosmic war. And it's going to cause the dragon to be cast out. Very powerful armies clashing there. Very powerful beings clashing there. And the Bible says when Satan comes down to this earth, that means that he is confined to this earth, and that means there's going to be the wrath of Satan. The wrath of Satan is not the wrath of God. The wrath of Satan is halfway through the 7 years, and the wrath of Satan's at the time when Satan gets kicked out of heaven, and at that time he's going to empower the beast and give great power to the beast to do the things that he's doing, and he's going to be kicked out of heaven. And what does that kick off? What is that called in the Bible? The wrath of Satan. And give me another name for that period of time, Brother Bob.
Well, there's several. Jeremiah 30 says it's the time of Jacob's trouble. Daniel chapter 12 says time of tribulation such as never was since there was a nation at that same time.
Exactly right. And so that is not the wrath of God. The tribulation is not 7 years long. The tribulation is not the wrath of God. Guys that say that don't know their Bible. And all they have to do, and they can hear me all across the world, is I will give anybody $500 that can, and I'd give more if I had more, that can tell me and show me in the Bible here that the tribulation is 7 years, or that the tribulation is the wrath of God. You'll not find a verse on that in the Bible. Now, the tribulation is the wrath of Satan, and it does not last 7 years. It starts in the middle of the 7 years, and it's when Satan is kicked out of heaven. He empowers the beast, and the beast then, you see, it goes on a killing spree, so to speak. And what happens is the Jewish Antichrist will set up in the temple that's in Jerusalem an image of the beast, a statue of the beast. And I believe that statue will be worldwide, so that every town and village will have these statues of the beast. And anybody that doesn't worship the beast will be killed if they don't bow down to that image and statue. And that's why no flesh would be saved, except God would shorten those days or cut those days of tribulation short. So the tribulation won't even last the full last half of the 3.5 years of the 7 years. It will be cut short. Why? Because no flesh, no Jewish flesh, no elect flesh, and no believing flesh would be saved because of this killing that's going on during that time of the Great Tribulation. By the way, God promises us that we are not appointed to wrath. Whose wrath is that talking about? Yes. God's wrath. It does not say that we're exempted from Satan's wrath. it says that we're exempted from God's wrath. And Christians have gone through Satan's wrath. They have triumphed over Satan. And how have they triumphed? They have triumphed by the blood of Christ, by the word of their testimony, which they did not lay down and give up because of persecution. And they triumphed by being even willing to give their lives if necessary to overcome Satan. Because Jesus said, don't fear them that can kill the body. Fear him that can kill the body and cast the soul into hell. Satan can't do that. Satan can kill the body with God's permission. With God's permission. And there will be people, Jews, that will be protected during this time of tribulation. There will be Christians, according to Revelation 3, that will be protected by God, signified by the Philadelphian Christians, that will be protected by God during this time. There will be others that will give their life. And so don't believe it when somebody says that the tribulation is the entire 7 years and that we have to be out of here before the 7 years starts, because the 7 years is not the tribulation. First four, 3.5 years, the beginning of sorrows. And then the tribulation starts in the middle. Okay, now, so this woman, which is the nation of Israel, is being pursued by the dragon. Look at verse 13. It says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast in the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Now, who brought forth the man-child? Well, the woman. Who is the woman? It's the nation of Israel in general. All right, now let's go on. In verse 14 says, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the face of the serpent, same as the dragon, Satan. All right, the woman is Israel. But here it's not everybody in Israel, because remember, some of the Israelites are going to take the mark, right? Some of the Israelites that don't take the mark are not going to go to this place in the wilderness, which happens to be in southern Jordan, which the Bible says in Daniel chapter 11, the Antichrist with the armies of Europe will not be able to go into Jordan. Why? Because the remnant's going to be hiding there. By the way, when Jesus comes back, he's coming back not to Jerusalem first, he's coming back to Jordan. Why is he coming back to Jordan first? Well, because he's going to get these out of hiding. So this is speaking about a remnant of the woman here, which is a remnant of Israel, which is none other than the 144,000, especially, that will flee because they will take seriously the need to run away and hide. And they're going to hide from the face of the persecutors that come upon them, and they're going to escape that persecution. All right? And then it says in verse 17, if you'll look at verse 17 of Revelation 12, it says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. And who is the remnant of her seed? Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, the woman is speaking of Israel and the remnant of Israel. Who is the remnant of her seed? Now, some people say, well, it must be Jewish people that have not run away and hid with this group that hid in Edom and escaped the wrath of Satan. No, can't be Jewish people. Because Jewish people that don't take the mark, do they keep the commandments of God? Are they saved people at this point in time? No, they're not. So it can't be Jewish people. So who is the remnant of her seed that keep the commandments? Brother Bob.
I believe it's Galatians that said that we are the spiritual offspring of Abraham. And so that would be saved Christendom that have the testimony of Jesus Christ, which are the spiritual seed of Israel.
Okay. There is a group of people that are spiritually the seed of Abraham, and the Bible speaks about that, and that we are going to be persecuted during this time once Satan knows he can't get the remnant of Israel that he wants to get, that went into hiding, then he's going to go after believers, Jew and Gentile, saved people, born-again people. By the way, that's telling us that these people are going to have to deal with that. Now, some of these people may have gone into hiding already, and he won't be able to get them. He won't be able to get them either. They'll have been forewarned and be hidden and protected. Others of them may be arrested and may give their lives for the Lord, but Satan will go after godly people at that point, saved people. All right? And so these groups, these three groups, will face the rage of Satan during the Great Tribulation. Who are these three groups that will face the rage of Satan? Number one, the 144,000, and they're going to be protected in southern Jordan. Number two, people in Israel that don't take the mark. I believe there'll be a lot of Jews that will not take the mark. I believe maybe even most of the Jewish nation will not take the mark. I don't know. But there'll be a lot of them, but a lot of them will be totally surprised. They won't be ready to run away. They'll be just like caught like a deer in the headlights. And many of those Jews, unfortunately, that don't take the mark will be killed. And if they haven't accepted the Lord, they won't be saved. So that's important during this time. And then the other group that is spoken about is believers that are saved people, that Satan will be after them during that time. He'll have them in his viewfinder. He'll be going after that group of people. We need to realize that that's what is coming. Jesus told us about these things and prepared us for these things. And if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's important that you know that you have a home in heaven. This world is not our home. We're just passing through here. All right, so make sure you know that your home is in heaven. All right, so that's happening in Revelation 7 with the 144,000. Now, and we're running low on time, but we'll get this. There's a second group that's mentioned other than the 144,000 Jews in Revelation. And you're going to find that if you go up to Revelation, go back to chapter number 7. And that second group is mentioned there in Revelation chapter 7. And let me read it in verse 9. It says, after this, after the 144,000 are protected on earth, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now, here's a great multitude no man could number. All nations, kindreds, people. And they're standing before the Lord now. Suddenly, John sees this big group in heaven suddenly there. And what are they crying? Verse 10, they're crying with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And verse 11, all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor be and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Now, that question by one of the elders, do you think the elder knew the answer to that question? Yeah, he knew the answer. But he wanted John, who's the revelator, who's the one receiving the revelation, for us to get this answer so that you and I would have it. And so he's asking John the question, and John says, sir, thou knowest. Verse 14. And he said to me, they are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, how did they come out of great tribulation and wash their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb? And by the way, it says that they came out and this was an act of salvation, because they're saying, you've saved us, you've delivered us. The word salvation there means deliverance. In what sense is this salvation? By the way, in Matthew 24, Jesus said, he that endures the tribulation unto the end shall be what? Saved. Does that mean sins forgiven? No. Our sins are not forgiven by enduring tribulation or the tribulation. When he's saying he that endures to the end shall be saved, he doesn't mean your sins will be forgiven like we're saved when we put our faith in Christ. He means saved in the sense of raptured, delivered out of the hands of Satan and the world system, and delivered up and raptured up to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so, what this is talking about is a group that is going to be raptured when the tribulation is cut short. What, according to Matthew 24, cut short the tribulation? Before the rapture. Yes, Harold?
The
The abomination of desolation is actually what begins the tribulation. That's the image of the beast in the temple. That's the abomination of desolation. That begins the beginning of it right in the middle of the 7 years. But what ends it? Yes.
When the sun darkens.
Yes, the opening of the sixth seal. When there is a power outage, God's power sources are out. And I believe even the electrical grids are out, and it's just going to get dark. Even daylight, it's going to be dark. And so everybody's going to be stymied and stopped at that point, and that's when people will flee. Now, then, between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, there's going to be the rapture. What is the last sign between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, according to Matthew 24, the last sign of the rapture, the last sign of His coming that we will see? Eddie Brent?
The sky is going to light up.
Amen. We shall behold Him. The sky is going to light up. Now, let me just tell you, Christians, pastors are not teaching this like they ought to. I have people call me up. I got a preacher right now. If he hears this message, I'm going to call him back. I haven't had time to get a hold of him. I want to call him back. He's down in North Carolina. And he wants fellowship because he's hearing the teaching that's not being taught about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And why is it? People are just bound into Baptist tradition. And they're afraid to break out of it. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm just, God wired me that way. I don't know. I'm not afraid. And I'm an idiot. But, you know, God needs people like me. Punch drunk. But the truth needs to get out. There is going to be this cosmic darkening, and when it happens, God's people are going to say, yes, because they know the next thing is going to be the light of the Lord. And when the light of the Lord shines, there'll be the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air with the dead in Christ that have risen. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And that's the same thing Revelation is talking about. Go here. It says, look what it says in verse 15. When that happens, they shall, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Man, what a day that's going to be. And Jesus said, in the world ye shall have what? Tribulation. Including, possibly, if you're alive during that time, certainly, the great tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's able to protect you during that hour, if that's His plan. And He's able to deliver you out of that hour of tribulation. And we know that's His plan. And so we don't focus on the fearful things. We focus on the fearless Lord, our Savior, our great protector, our great guide and stay. And so that is the good news. And that's all going to happen here between the sixth and the seventh seal. Now next week when you come back, we're going to get into chapter 8. And did I give you your notes back yet, Mary? No, I didn't. We're going to go into chapter 8 next week because we're done with chapter 7 now. And what seal is going to be opened in chapter 8? Because in chapter 6 we open. So what seal is going to be opened in chapter 8? Mary? She knows it. The seventh seal. And when the seventh seal is open, what is going to take place? Mary? God's wrath. Where are we going to be when that seal is open? We're out of here. We're in heaven. And for the rest of the 3.5 years that are left, we don't know how much of the second 3.5 years will be left after God cuts the tribulation short. For the rest of that period will be the wrath of God, and 30 days beyond that 3.5 years, according to Daniel 12, will be the wrath of God. Okay? We'll look at that next week. See you next week.